passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, or welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show if this is your first time tuning in. And guess what? This is Dr. Kevin. Here on the first Thursday of every month, it's from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we do a segment that we call, or a show that we call, Through the Spiritual Lens, where we take our regular visiting monthly first of the month co-host, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Go, Matt, go, Matt, go, Matt, who has a mostly politically based drive time show from 4 to 6 at WMNH 95.5 Manchester, New Hampshire, which you can listen
95.3.
Sorry about that.
Yep.
95.3.
That's okay.
Someday you'll get a promotion to 0.5, but that's okay.
Keep working.
Yes. Or you can go to itmnation.com and tune in through there if you are not in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, and be part of that conversation. And we bring in Matt to put politics through a spiritual lens on the first Thursday. You can participate in this conversation by calling 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you will see this posting for the show right at the top, and you can write your comment there. And as long as your comment is respectful, we will bring it on air. If you are listening to this as one of our repeat shows, which happen throughout the week before the next Dr. Kevin show, then you can still go to the Facebook. Don't call in. My producer shoots me when that happens. Don't call in on a non 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time Thursday night, because you'll be calling in on somebody else's show, and they may not be a call-in show. But you can go to Facebook and still post the comment or question, and either Matt or I will answer it. And for those of you who are still getting used to the new Dr. Kevin's regular schedule starting in 2020, we've kept Matt, who has been on my first Thursday for a couple of years now. The second Thursday of every month is now, we call it Thoughtful Thursday with Lori Powers Otto, where we talk about people doing thoughtful things in the world and things to make you thoughtful and to share good stories and motivation, inspiration, and motivation. And then on the Thursday that is closest to the 20th, depending on whether we have 4 or 5 Thursdays in a month, we have Planetary Influences with Lori and Rob Stewart from Inner Center to talk about what's coming up in the next astrological month. And then the other shows are just a revolving set of guests that's always fun and interesting to tune into. Matt, welcome. Now that you've corrected me and told the whole world how inept I am and I was off by 0.2 points.
Yes.
What are you going to do with me?
Well, we don't, we can't do anything that violates the Geneva Convention, that's for sure.
Oh. Okay.
So that, you sound disappointed. So
that means that you can't do unreasonable torture, so you can't make me watch the State of the Union address. I stopped watching faux reality TV a long time ago, because everything they call reality TV is really a faux reality TV. Much more fake reality TV. I should probably say fake, because, you know, the people who warm up to the fake news probably don't know what faux means.
Right.
The fake reality show. So I didn't want to watch the fake reality show of the State of the Union address. It would be considered excessive torture to make me sit in front of it and watch it. So that's off the table.
The ending was pretty good.
Oh, I missed that. What was the ending? Oh, is that the famous thing I'm seeing on social media that Pelosi did?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
I liked it.
Yeah, I've seen the picture. I've seen the meme. I've seen the stuff. It's interesting. I think that it was a statement, and I agree with the statement that was being made. I have looked at something. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't know if I can find it or not. You probably have already seen it, but it was actually NPR going over what was factually incorrect with the State of the Union address, just the big points. There's like the five big points where some of what he said was true, but not all of it, or none of what he said was true. His reference to some of, Obama administration versus his, some of it was either completely wrong or mostly wrong. And there was a couple of things, and it even said, though the actual number is still a good number, it's not the number he said.
Right.
It was just wrong. I mean, he just can't get through anything without having to either exaggerate. Exaggerate is the nice word because some people would say lie. And I actually think that lie actually probably is the better word because he can't help himself.
Right.
I mean, he literally, I don't think he's capable of talking for any length of time more than 5 minutes without telling a lie. I mean, it's like, I think he's literally, incapable. Does that make sense?
It does. Some of that, I mean, obviously that's what you get with Trump in any setting. But of course, some of that too is standard for the State of the Union. Any president, is going to approach it with some puffery, some exaggerations about their record and about how well the administration is doing. I mean, it's a purely political speech, and but Trump, of course, takes that to a new level or a new low, if you will, which of course is what apparently prompted Pelosi to rip up the speech at the end. She called it a manifesto of mistruths, I think. There was one comment where apparently she said it was the courteous thing to do, in contrast with what she could have done with it, which I thought was fascinating. Yeah. But hey, I don't blame her. I mean, Trump wouldn't shake her hand at the beginning. So, she kind of had to, do something at the end, I think, to kind of, in professional wrestling, they call that getting your heat back. When you do something for your character to kind of get some revenge. But, every State of the Union though does contain exaggerations and half truths and all of that kind of stuff. It's pretty standard.
Well, I think that some of it, is that, you would think that he would, of all people, would have to know that he's going to be called on everything because he's just lied so much. There's nothing he can get away with because he's just tried to get away with such outrageous statements at times.
Here's the thing though. I mean, at this point, after being acquitted by the Senate, I think he probably feels invincible now. I think if anything, the line is just going to get worse. I think he probably feels like, they used to call John Gotti the Teflon Don, and I'm not necessarily comparing Trump to a mafia boss, although I'm not necessarily not doing that either. But, and this whole thing, I mean, it went exactly the way I predicted it would the entire time. But I think he probably feels invincible at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, and I'm sure we're going to see even worse behavior because he's like a child. He can't stop himself.
Right.
He's going to have to He's going to have to see how far he can push. It's like a two-year-old. Can I? No. Can I? No. Can I? No. Can I? And poor Pelosi feels like she's like, I think she needs, you know, she should at least get 2 points towards sainthood for even just having to deal with him. Because you put a two-year-old in charge of the country, and all of this stuff, and you know, it's just, I don't know. Anyway, so what is going on? I mean, obviously he got acquitted. We knew he'd get acquitted. I was still hoping that there might be some thin possibility of. That there might get some witnesses called. So what stands out to you about this whole process the most? Because most of this has unfolded since the last time we talked, and you always have an interesting perspective of things.
Well, Mittens of Utah was kind enough to fall on his sword and end his political career by doing the right thing and voting to convict. Of course, he was the only Republican to do so. But it was good to see somebody doing that. I don't know if he was planning to run. He's not up for re-election until 2024, so he's got some time. I don't know if at his age, if he was planning to run for another term, but he won't be able to get re-elected again. It's 100% Trump's party now, and you know, I'm sure. And Mitt Romney, actually, I just learned this. Apparently, his approval rating already wasn't that great in his home state of Utah. So if he does decide to run for re-election in 2024, I suspect that the MAGA cult, much like their exalted hero, will not let go of the grudge and will make sure that he is primaried in 2024. And then, he just won't even be the nominee. For his Senate seat. So, you know, it was good to see him stand up and say, you know, this is wrong. And I mean, he did, although I should mention too, he did vote to convict on the first article of impeachment, not the second, which I was fine with because I thought the second article of impeachment was a bit dubious, actually. And we can get into that if you want to, why I thought that. But it was good to see, you know, somebody at least having the courage to vote to convict on the Republican side. But I knew they were never going to get enough to actually, you know, for it to actually lead to removal.
So one of the things is that, okay, so first of all, tell me, I heard that he was actually doing well in his state. So I don't know. I read something different than you did, but you know, you could be you could be right. I mean, you know, but I read that he had a block of support and was even talking about that he may leave the Republican Party and become an independent. Did you hear that? Or am I having delusions? No, I've read somewhere that he was thinking that he was going to leave the Republican Party and become an independent because he said he could not support the values of the Republican Party as they stood now.
Well, that may have been someone doing some that would be interesting to see. I'd like to see that. But I have not heard or read that, but now that could be out there. There could be something mean floating. I mean, the Republican Party, I predict, I mean, he's done anyway. So he probably have nothing to lose because they will, if they haven't yet, they will now turn on him. I mean, like I said, it is absolutely Trump's party. And the one thing you never do is anything that disrespects daddy. I mean, that's the dynamic here. So, I mean, his career, I mean, that might be what he has to do to save his political career is to become an independent because he'll never win re-election as a Republican, not after this.
So And you're reading, you're hearing that he doesn't have, I've heard, see, again, I don't know who is correct, who's not correct, who's whatever. But, you know, I read that Utah is pretty disgusted with Trump since he's been elected.
There's been
some big issues there.
Yeah, I have read that as well, that Trump is not as popular in Utah as he is in other red states. But in the end, it's not going to matter. I mean, I'm sure there's Mormons of principle who are not enamored with Trump. But in the end, it won't matter. I mean, they'll get swallowed up by the rest of the MAGA cult in due time, in my view. So in the end, it won't matter.
So you don't think that Utah would ever go independent? If he switches to independent and runs on an independent ticket,
that might be possible. If he remains a Republican, he'll never win anything again as a Republican. But no, if he switches to independent and can that way peel off some Democrats, you know, if he gets lucky and you know, the Democrat running isn't that popular, or maybe the Republican running isn't that popular. You know, he might have a shot then. You know, anything's possible. It's always very difficult. Evan McMullen, if you remember, he's from Utah, a Republican who decided to run as an independent because he wanted to take down Trump. And, you know, some people thought he might do well in his home state of Utah in the 2016 election and might actually be able to take some electoral votes away from Trump and Hillary, and it just ended up not happening for him. I mean, he was barely a blip on the radar. So I think anything's possible. I think that would be Mitt's only chance at this point, would be to run as an independent.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back, and we're going to talk more about why you don't think the second article of impeachment had wait, and what else is going on in the political world, and what does it mean to us? So stay tuned.
Conscious Media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. I'm here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, we're discussing what's going on in politics, which we do once a month on this show. We leave it to once a month, and we try to see if we can maybe give you some different perspectives or ideas or thoughts. So, Matt, so what did you think of before I asked you why you thought that the second article of impeachment was okay to not vote for? What do you think about what Governor Phil Scott did?
I missed this, Dr. Kevin. What did he do?
Well, you know who I'm talking about, Vermont, the Vermont Republican governor?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, he came out today saying that he didn't agree, that he thought that Trump shouldn't be in office, that he shouldn't have been acquitted, that they should have called witnesses. His quote was, if they had taken more testimony, maybe they'd have had more information and maybe other senators would have acted appropriately.
Wow. Well, good for him.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Well, he's a Republican governor in a very liberal state. So I don't know how conservative he actually is, but I know that Vermont is a lot like Massachusetts in that if you're a Republican, you know, you're not probably much of a conservative. You know, you're probably a very moderate to liberal Republican, kind of like a Bill Weld Republican. So I don't know if that's the case. I don't know a lot about Phil Scott, to be honest with you, but that's just what I'm assuming based on what state he's in. So he might actually be okay. I would not write him off the same way I would write Mitt Romney. Also, he's just, you know, expressing an opinion is a lot different from actually casting a vote. So I think he can probably get away. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of Republicans in Vermont who are furious with him for making those comments, but making a comment's a lot different than casting a vote. So that probably will blow over for him. I doubt he'll be in too much trouble with the Republican Party, but we'll see. But good for him. Good for him for speaking up.
So we did have our version of a call-in while we were on break. And it was, you know, and the question was posed, what do you think? And you're our political expert for the show, Mr. Matt. What do you think will happen if Trump doesn't get reelected? Will actually people, if daddy takes a dive off the deep end and then gets eaten up and thrown into jail by New York, who's going after him with a vengeance,
yes,
will Mitt be seen as a hero in the Republican Party if he stays?
I don't think so, because I think that we're in such a unique time, and Trump's hold over these people is so uniquely strong that I think it might endure, even if I'm worried if Trump loses reelection, you know, I'm worried about how some of these people are going to react. And I'm thinking of the people who are well armed, who, you know, have underground militias, who spend their weekends hanging out with their paramilitary buddies in the woods wearing camo, you know, thinking about how much they'd love to be on the southern border shooting at brown people. You know, those kind of folks, I worry about how they're going to react if Trump loses. And I think a lot of them are going to hang on to that. I think because Trump's hold on Republicans, I mean, it's almost supernatural in nature. So I worry that it might endure, you know, unless somebody even worse comes along. It's funny because I was talking on my show today about Reagan, because today is the birthday of Ronald Reagan. And I was talking about how, you know, Reagan for a very long time was the patron saint of conservatism. He was the exalted hero of every Republican in the country until Trump came along. And then all of a sudden, it's like Reagan didn't even exist. So what if somebody even more repulsive than Trump comes along? Then maybe everyone will forget about Trump. But no, I think there's going to be a lot of anger. There could be violence if Trump loses. And I don't think people are going to forget about Mitt's vote. And I think even if Trump loses, it's still going to hurt him. I really do. I don't think he'll be seen as a hero by anybody on the right, you know, except for the handful of Never Trumpers that are actually kicking around.
Which maybe it's plateaued out. Last time I knew, that was actually a growing number, whether it was growing enough to make a difference, I can't say. But yeah, it was a growing number of Republican Never Trumpers. Are we going to see a serious third party come out of all of this? What do you think?
No, we would have by now. In the 2016 election cycle, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein had already emerged at this point in the process. It's too late. Now, Vernon Supreme, who I voted for because he ran as a Democrat in 2016, and I voted for him in the Democratic primary, he's now running as a Libertarian. And he may actually, Vernon Supreme, who's been on my show, and I love him, he may actually have a legitimate chance at becoming the Libertarian nominee this time. But obviously he's a novelty candidate. He's not a threat to anybody, well, except to Libertarians who desperately want to be taken seriously. And it looks like the guy who wears a boot on his head might be their nominee, which I think is great. But no, there's no serious third-party threat, or it would have emerged by now.
Well, I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm happy to be wrong, because I'm okay with being wrong. You know, it's early in 2020. Mm-hmm. I've got to be wrong at least once this year. Now could be that moment.
Sure.
But in 2016... so many people never thought that Trump was going to win.
Right.
And then so many people didn't think Trump was going to be actually as horrible as he was in areas that are having a hard time for people looking away.
Yes.
You've definitely seen a huge shift happening that's been showing some cracks in Christianity. I mean, I don't know how much on top of you stay aware of that side of things going on, but you know that the Methodist Church is dividing into two churches now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Because they voted to not accept, to not allow gay marriages to happen, and there was a very strong, almost as strong group of Methodist churches that were pro-gay marriage. And in fact, if you noticed, if you go by a Methodist church usually around here, they'll have something about we welcome all people, or we are a welcoming congregation, or whatever, versus the very more Midwestern Southern Methodist churches, which could still be closer to Southern Baptist. And so a major religion in this country has now voted to separate itself and become two religions because they have this difference. And you have these Christians against Trump, and you have these people that are distancing themselves against some of this truly disgusting theatrical. If there was a false God sent to make all these little Christians stray and lead them into hell, Trump is the guy. You know, I'm waiting for the evangelical, or I like to call them the evangelicals, to fall down and start talking in tongues about Trump is God, because they're practically there now. And this is causing a lot of breakup in a lot of different areas. And if you look around the edges, you see it. And so my thing is that in 2016, nobody really thought Trump was going to get it. And so there was a lot of people that either chose to sit it out or they didn't vote. There was a lot of, you know, and then, of course, you had all of the irritated Bernie people that felt like that the DNC screwed Bernie to go behind Hillary. And we're going to get to that in a minute, too, because that's starting to show its ugly head again. the Bernie cult, which in some ways is starting to strike me as being as cultish as the Trump cult, is now is the time that you have Republicans that would rather chop their fingers off than vote for a Democrat, but might vote for an independent or a libertarian just because they feel obligated to vote and they can't vote for Trump and they won't vote for a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that number may be larger than people think.
Yeah, but in 2016, I mean, you know, there were people saying, well, you know, this is a great time for independents because you have two candidates in Trump and Hillary who both have very high negatives, who have people in their own parties who don't, you know, because it took Trump a long time to, well, maybe not that long, but it took him a while to build the love and unconditional adoration that Republicans have for him now. So you had, you know, Gary Johnson as the Libertarian and Jill Stein as the Green Party nominee. And they were getting some attention, more attention than third party candidates typically get. MSNBC in particular really kind of went out of their way to give both of those candidates airtime, sometimes to their detriment. Unfortunately, it was on MSNBC that Gary Johnson had his infamous Aleppo moment where he didn't know what Aleppo was, which I think hurt him. But so I think everything was lined up in 2016 for that to happen, and it just didn't happen. So I don't sense that there's any kind of that same energy happening now. But I hope that you're right. You know, I'm an independent. I didn't vote for Trump or Hillary. I try to vote for third party whenever I can. And, you know, I may end up – if Vermin Supreme is the Libertarian nominee, I may end up voting for him. I think New Hampshire is pretty much a blue state at this point, so it doesn't really matter. You know, our votes don't matter that much unless you're in a swing state, which I don't think New Hampshire is anymore. But I hope that you're right. I would love for you to be right about this.
Yeah. You know, change is coming out of this. We absolutely know that. That's a given. You know, Trump has expanded and abused the powers of the presidency beyond any president we've ever had before. And he got away with it because the party loyalty was more important than the Constitution.
Well, of course.
It's still getting people fired up, you know, and of course the big thing is, you know, that there's trying to be a unity in the Democratic Party, which doesn't include half the time from what I see, and this could be an untrue statement, the Sanders followers. So the question is, if Sanders legitimately loses and somebody else is the nominee, will he convince his people, you got to vote blue no matter who? Yes. You know, when all that stuff came out and it looked like things got rigged and Hillary wasn't as clear a winner as everybody wanted to make her be, but if he actually loses, will he rally his supporters or are they going to, or will they participate in screwing us over with 4 more years of Trump because they're going to take their ball and their bat and go home and not go vote? What do you think?
It's a good question. I, I think if they feel like Bernie's been screwed for a second time, and I do think he was screwed over in 2016. Yeah, I do think I do think they might stay home. You know, but you know my prediction. I believe Trump is going to win re-election. I've always thought that, especially now. So, you know, I think that might happen anyway. But yeah, I mean, if Bernie's not able to rally those supporters behind whomever the eventual nominee is, then yeah, that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Well, I mean, I agree that Bernie did not get a fair shake in 2016, but I don't see that happening now. I think if Bernie loses now, it's because there's just enough people that don't think that his democratic socialism is going to be something that's going to fly to beat Trump. If Trump can be beat, and I refuse to give up hope, call me a cockeyed optimist, but I refuse to give up hope. I don't know that we need to be stuck with the Antichrist for four more years, but who knows?
Right.
But, you know, Bernie has got to get his people in line that are, you know, still kind of going, you know, I ain't voting if it ain't Bernie. And it's like, no, you. And that's why I say the Bernie thing is almost as, because have you seen any evidence that Bernie's getting screwed this time?
I've been reading some things online that they're trying to figure out how to, screw him, because they're genuinely worried, because there's a very good chance he's going to win New Hampshire. And if he wins New Hampshire again, I mean, they can't do what they did in 2016, where he crushed Hillary, and yet somehow they still walk out of here with an even number of delegates. They can't pull that again. And I think he's got a shot. I think he's got a shot at the nomination. He might have won Iowa. I mean, I know Mayor Pete's claiming victory, and I know Mayor Pete's your guy. Last I looked, it was very, very close, with 97% reporting, like within a tenth of a percentage point. So I don't know, but I think there's a lot of panic. You know, if you turn on MSNBC, you know, you'll see all these establishment Republicans who are really trying to take him down, you know, with what they're saying, that, you know, he doesn't have a chance to beat Trump and this and that, and really kind of trying to discourage his candidacy. So I think they will try to screw him. I mean, you know, they can't pin their hopes on Biden. Biden just came in fourth in Iowa. I mean, I think they'll try.
Yep. Okay, well, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about that a little bit more and a few other things. We still have to hear which impeachment article did Matt think wasn't worth voting yes on.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on the first Thursday in February in 2020. And we are on with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can listen to Matt Connerton from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday at 95.3 WMNH. Or you can go to IPMNation.com and you can hear it through your internet. Either place, you can call in and be part of this conversation. He runs mostly a political show. He covers a few other things, but it runs pretty thick in politics. And that's why we like to have Matt here on the first Thursday of every month to kind of bring his insight and his expertise, even when he's wrong, because Trump's not getting reelected, right here to the Dr. Kevin Show. You can be part of this conversation at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Welcome to facebook.com/mydrkevin. MyDrKevin. Make sure you like the page when you're there. I'm a likable guy. And you can post your question or comment there. And as long as it is respectful, we will bring it on air. So we were talking about, Bernie and, however you look at it, at this point, Iowa was a win for Mayor Pete, even if he ends up barely being second and not first. It's still a big win.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Yep. He beat out Biden, Warren, and Klobuchar. And so I really think that, and he's coming in, and, the mayor of Nashua just endorsed him, that was his choice. With Mayor Pete, he got an endorsement from Mayor Jim here. Mayor Jim endorsed Mayor Pete, but he's the ex-Mayor Pete, ex-Mayor. He's got a fair amount of energy flowing in New Hampshire too, so he could be doing the 1-2 tag with Bernie again. And that's going to keep him viable. You're sounding very doubtful. You're hearing something on the street that I am.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Bernie. I think Biden may come in second or third. Elizabeth Warren may come in second or third. I could see Mayor Pete coming in fourth. I could be wrong, but that's my prediction. But I didn't expect him to do as well in Iowa as he did, so I could very easily be wrong.
We're all doing our best guesses, and we're praying for the best, or whatever you do out there, and seeing it. So talk to me about so here's a question. Who do you think, if they ran as an independent, could suck away some of the disenfranchised and unhappy Republicans in the Republican Party who cannot stand Trump? Do you think that there is somebody out there that, at the very least, if they ran, could cripple him enough to get him out of office? Because that would be a strategy in and of its own. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I mean, if somebody, the calculus is always difficult, because if somebody runs as an independent, and they're trying to peel off votes from Trump, if they're trying to peel off disaffected Republicans, all they really do is split the Republican vote, and that ensures that the Democrat wins. That's why it's so difficult for independents to make any headway in a presidential election. So nobody really leaps to mind, to be honest with you. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's, you're more in the know of who's around and who's there and who's already committed suicide. And, I don't see Mitt throwing his hat in the ring at this point. No. And, you know, build well, came up for all of 2 minutes and went back down again. I haven't heard anything about him, though. He proclaimed that he was running.
There was a Republican who called my show today who's voting for Bill Weld in the primary, Jeff Cassell. He's a never-Trumper. But, yeah, these Republicans who've, you know, gotten in to try to challenge Trump in the primary, I mean, they get a week, maybe a week and a half of a lot of media attention, and then they just kind of flame out. It's Trump's party now. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So, which of the articles of impeachment do you think was the, I'm going to say, bogus one? How would you describe it? So tell us where you stood on the two articles. I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
Sure. Well, the first article of impeachment, abuse of power, I absolutely agreed with. I felt clearly Trump had asked a foreign power for help damaging a political opponent, and that is illegal. You know, one of the constitutional attorneys who testified, you know, on behalf of the Democrats during the House hearings, the impeachment hearings, I forget her name, but she said, I thought she made a great point when she said, you know, the founding fathers were so concerned about foreign interference or influence in our elections that they wrote it into the Constitution that you have to have been born a United States citizen. You know, you can't even have immigrated here from another country and run for president. So that's how worried about that they were. I think it's pretty clear that that's what Trump did. He was soliciting help from Ukraine. Because he wasn't even interested in an actual investigation. He just wanted the announcement so that it would damage Biden back home. So I was 100% on board with the first article. The second article, obstruction of Congress, I had a bit of a problem with. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a, you know, legal scholar of any kind. So I can get it over my head on this stuff pretty quick. So maybe I'm wrong. But it just seemed to me, if they're saying that Trump is obstructing Congress because the administration is challenging all of these subpoenas and trying to exert executive power, and they're going to court to block these subpoenas, is that really obstruction? Because if the administration is going through a legal process by going to the courts to block the subpoenas, they're not doing anything illegal. They're going through a legal process to do so. That doesn't sound like obstruction to me. Now, they are trying to obstruct and stonewall. That's exactly the point. But I don't know if that holds up legally. I mean, we have co-equal branches of government. We have a system of checks and balances. So if the legislative branch is trying to do something that the executive branch objects to, so the executive branch goes to the judicial branch and says, hey, we need you to decide on this. Again, we know what they're really trying to do, but legally, I don't see how that's obstruction of Congress if they're going through the process and then Congress effectively turns around and says, okay, well, you know what? We're going to cancel these subpoenas because we don't want to drag this whole thing out. But in the meantime, we're going to impeach you for obstruction of Congress, even though we don't have the patience to see this through, and we're going to cancel these subpoenas, which I think is one of the colossal errors that the Democrats made with this whole thing, because I think they really botched this. So I don't think the second article holds up. Now, maybe you could impeach him for obstruction of Congress because he let Rudy Giuliani be in charge of his Ukraine policy effectively, and, you know, you have to to have somebody operating at that level in your administration, you know, they have to be confirmed by Congress, right? Like, that, you know, yeah. Like if you want to make someone Secretary of State, they have to go through a confirmation process. So maybe they obstructed Congress in that way by allowing Rudy Giuliani to run our foreign policy in Ukraine without going through any kind of a process, without even being a federal employee of any kind, just being Trump's personal attorney. So maybe that's obstruction of Congress. Oh, and by the way, I think another great article of impeachment would have been the 12 instances in the Mueller report where Trump obstructed justice. So maybe the first article is abuse of power, and then the second article is obstruction of justice. But I wouldn't have done abuse. I wouldn't have done obstruction of Congress. I think that was, I just think that was weak, and I completely understand why Mitt Romney voted against the second article. I mean, I think Trump is guilty as hell, but had I been in the Senate, I think I would have voted against the second article. I certainly would have voted for the first one, but I don't think the second one holds up.
So, okay. Now, I know less than you do, and you've already admitted that you can get in the weeds here, but
sure.
When they asked for certain documentation and certain things like that, and it was refused to be provided,
mm-hmm.
though it was legally required to do so,
right?
Would that not have been an obstruction of Congress?
Well, if the executive branch is asserting executive privilege, and look, again, I mean, I guess it comes down to the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law to some extent, right? Because in terms of the spirit of the law, yeah, we know, of course, they were trying to obstruct. But if they're claiming executive privilege and then they're saying to the legislative branch, if you don't like it, if you don't agree that this assertion of executive privilege is valid, go to the judicial branch. Have the judicial branch force us to give you these documents, and then we won't have a choice. So, again, it's using the legal process to not allow Congress to have these documents. I don't think that's obstruction of Congress. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, but I don't think that's what it actually is in a legal sense. And again, I'm not a lawyer. I could be wrong about all of this, but that's just my layman's understanding of it.
Okay. So, what did you think of how the Chief Justice dealt with everything?
Oh, he was fine.
His role.
He was fine. He did what he was supposed to do. Nope, I have no problem with John Roberts. And in fact, I commend him for refusing to read the question that Rand Paul had submitted, where he outed the whistleblower. Justice Roberts declined to read that and you know, wanted to protect the whistleblower, which I think is excellent. So good for him. So no complaints there. I think John Roberts was fine.
Do you think that legal action could be taken against Rand Paul? Did he break
probably.
The law with what he did?
I don't know. I mean, we have whistleblower protections that are, you know, that are codified in law, but I'm not an expert on it, but I know a little bit just from conversations on my show with John Hopwood, because he's very he is a bit of an expert on that subject. Rand Paul probably did break the law, but I don't think there'll be any consequence for it. But it's certainly a despicable thing to do, regardless of legality. You have to protect whistleblowers, and I think what Rand Paul does by, you know, saying this person's name out loud in the media, it has a chilling effect. And we need whistleblowers. It's critical to a functioning democracy to have whistleblowers who speak up and are protected when they speak up about things that they see that they know are wrong. So I've lost, not that I've had that much respect for him to begin with, but I've lost tremendous respect for Rand Paul. I think he's been a very bad actor in all of this.
So we now have the highest I saw. I don't know what you saw, and you might have a more accurate number that it was, but at one point near the end of it, it was a poll that said 75% of Americans that were polled, both Republicans and Democrats, thought that witnesses should be called. 75%. That's the highest number I saw.
Yeah.
With this not happening and being this close to an election and vulnerable seats, do you think this could have an impact on the Senate?
An impact on the Senate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Democrats might pick up some seats in the next election because, you know, I mean, I think this whole process probably ultimately strengthened Trump because it energizes the base. You know, now the MAGA people get to say, you know, oh, look, they tried to take him down, but they couldn't. He was too tough or whatever. But I think, you know, well, we're out of time, but I think the Democrats might pick up some seats in the Senate because of this whole thing. That'll be the one good thing that happens for the Dems.
Well, and if Mitt Romney goes independent and they pick up a couple of seats, if Trump does get elected, he could have a very rude wake-up call.
Yes. Well, we'll hope for the best.
Matt, thank you as always, and I'll talk to you at the beginning of March.
Sounds great. Thank you. Bye, everybody.